The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Raiders. Episode 550 of The Show. I'm your host, Andrew. And in this episode, we speak with Marcus Leto. He is the president and creative director of V1 Interactive. And the game Disintegration is going to be coming out on the 16th of June. So definitely look forward to that. I had a great conversation with him and definitely a very, very happy and joyful guy. I even asked him about that. And he changed my gaming life, if you will. Just thinking about the fact that he had a great hands in the Halo project, as well as some things in the Destiny world. And I just told him, I said, hey, man, you know, I really appreciate everything you've done. So definitely check this out. This is Marcus Leto, president and creative director of V1 Interactive. Enjoy. I'm excited to have Marcus Leto, president and creative director of V1 Interactive. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here, Andrew. Thanks.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff. I really want to get into the game Disintegration, which launches the 16th, right? So, mm-hmm. I'm excited to see the things that are happening in that space. I definitely want to hear about the gameplay and your journey. I believe V1 Interactive is 7 years old, if I did my fact checks correctly. Somewhere around there?
On my end, yes. As far as us actually starting the studio for real, like as a brick and mortar studio and forming all the incorporation letters, it's just over 4 years old now at this
point.
So after I left Bungie, after having been there for almost 17 years, I decided to take a little time to myself. And then started V1 Interactive it was just me for a long time, just working on game ideas. And eventually I was able to pull together a prototype and we pitched it around and found a publisher with Private Division. And then that's when we started the studio for real. So that was just about 4 years ago.
Absolutely. Okay, so talk to me about your company philosophy and how you handle silos and different things like that. As you're building a team, from what I understand, the team is 30 individuals, right, mm-hmm. working on a project. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, starting the studio is actually one of the most challenging parts of our journey in the first place. Private Division, of course, took a pretty big leap with me and believing that I could build a studio. I could attract some of the talent necessary to fill out the ranks where needed. And so it took a little bit of time, but eventually finding some people who I had worked with for many, many years back at Bungie and bringing in some brand new talent as well. As soon as some of that starts coming together, it creates a magnetism, and that we actually had a game that was exciting already at that time, the early stages of Disintegration. And that really helped, I think, pull people in and allow them to become invested in changing and continuing to evolve the game over time and be really invested in what we were making together. So philosophy-wise for the studio, too, I'm a big believer in happy people make awesome games. And when people are healthy outside of the office, just as much as they are inside of the office, that's a good situation. I love allowing people to have the free time that they need to be with their friends, family, their loved ones, and making sure that is a healthy balance between work and their life outside the office. And so that has been a core tenet of ours, staying healthy, both mentally and physically, and all of that translates into an energy that makes its way into the game itself.
That's awesome. So whenever I've seen interviews of you, you're always smiling. What brings you joy? What keeps you happy in the process of all the things that you've been experienced from your past experiences to even working on this game?
That's a great question. No one's ever asked me that one. I love being happy. You got to look at life through a certain lens. And I know, yes, I can get a little salty at times. And, but I really try not to allow that to take anything over, and realize that, when you bring joy to, the world around you, to the people you work with, and try to make sure that there's that kind of like that love and joy between everybody, that is real important, and it's real powerful, and it makes people, understand that they're part of something bigger. And it also is just a positive energy. It's, I try to keep that as much as I possibly can, wherever I go, and apply it to anything. So, and it, maybe it's because of the way I was brought up too. I'm a son of a preacher who was,
there it is,
my whole life.
There it is.
So,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So I love my upbringing, and it was a really strong upbringing, and I think it affected me powerfully throughout my life.
That's awesome. That's okay. So the team of 30, was it difficult or challenging to put that team together?
Yeah, it was. And I mean, it was probably more like 12 to 20 for a majority of the project. I mean, we had a nice core of individuals. And some of these, like I had said earlier, were people that I hired back at Bungie many, many years ago, that I was able to rehire at V1 and to come join us and, you know, be part of this really cool journey that we're taking together. In addition to that, you know, we work with some of the local schools, and we can find some really great new talent that's totally like fresh to the industry, but they're wicked smart and they're really awesome. And, they bring a fire and a life to the studio that, is just an essential ingredient, to what we're doing. And yeah, growing to where we are now, just Once we had that core group, then we were able to like reach out to some of our other friends and colleagues and find the talent to really fill some of the gaps that we wanted filled. And it took time. I didn't want to hire anybody just to put a body in a warm seat. A warm body in a seat. There's the thing I need to
right.
say. So
that's okay.
I really wanted to make sure that we took our time and that we didn't just hire anybody. That person has to also have not only just really great talent that they're going to bring to the studio, but they also bring a personality and a mix with the studio, because we are so small and we all work in this open office, that we need to make sure that we can communicate and work within the team itself effectively. So, put all those things together, and it's oftentimes hard to find those individuals who, you know, fit all, check all those boxes, appropriately.
Awesome. Talk to me about, the journey from Unity to Unreal Engine. How was that?
Yeah. In our earliest stages, we were using the Unity engine because it was just such a great, engine to work in. We used to like to call it Photoshop for designers, because it was just so easy to get in there and just like prototype ideas and rapidly. And it was just me working on all the content, and then two students working on the engineering side of things. And so, as a content developer myself, I always love making games. I mean, that's another reason why I'm so happy, is because I get to make games for a living. I mean, this is awesome. And
right.
Not a lot of people get to say they do that. So that's really fun. And I don't think I'll ever get tired of it. But making the prototype in Unity was just a really fun thing to do, because it was just so easy to play with ideas there. But we understood at the end of that prototype phase that some of the things that the benefits of Unity was great for the prototype, but it didn't extend into some of the things we really needed the engine to do, with networking and with some of the more complicated rendering features and that kind of thing. So moving over to the Unreal Engine was what we did after we had signed with Private Division and moved into the actual development phase of the game. And that was like learning a different language altogether. Like, wow, that took a long time for us to get up to speed and switch gears entirely to the Unreal side of things. But it allowed us then to continue development without having to hire a team of 30 to 40 engineers to build an engine from scratch. Mm. So it turned out to be really helpful for us.
That's awesome. Okay, so I'm going to move ahead and then we're going to work our way back. So setting expectations for Disintegration, what kind of game is it? What should we expect from the experience? And for individuals who are expecting something that it is not, can you explain, is it a hybrid genre of sorts? Talk about that experience a little bit.
It is a first-person shooter experience with a light tactical element on top of it. Even that said, I want to make sure that anybody who comes in to jump in and play Disintegration, that they throw away all of their preconceptions as to what a first-person shooter is to them, and that they don't play it like that. That they understand that the movement throughout the game, the things we ask the player to do with commanding ground units and using their special abilities are all very deliberate, and it's all part of a much deeper set of design mechanics that I want players to really take the time to absorb it and be patient initially, because it's so different. We carved out a whole new territory with this kind of game, and it's something that's really atypical from any other game out there. So if you come into it and play it with some preconception, you'll often find yourself playing with one hand tied behind the back. And so that is at its root. It's a fluid action game. But we're also asking the player to, you know, manage a light management of ground units and use them tactically. So they kind of like, imagine it like a thinking person's first person shooter. That's kind of how we put it in a nutshell.
Awesome. So what broke unexpectedly and what worked too well as you were developing the game and bringing it to production?
I think when we first made the transition over to turning the game into a first-person shooter, because it started out strictly as an RTS. And I think that's been widely known. A lot of people talk about that, but that transition period took a long time to get right. And the thing that broke immediately was just asking the player to do far too much. We overwhelmed the player with flying this vehicle, firing on ground units, and micromanaging ground units at the same time. While we could do it because we were developing it, even we were getting overwhelmed with the amount of things we were asking ourselves to do. And we're like, all right, we've got to totally scrap this entire idea of what we were doing with those ground units and throw it away. And we even had to throw away our preconceptions as to what the game really should be and just boil things down to its core essential elements. Just those essential things that are really going to be impactful and make a difference to the player when it came to that tactical element of commanding ground units. So one of the things that then came and shined its light on us as we went through this process was innovating on, you know, like just trying things over and again and failing and coming back, meeting and talking about what worked about that and what didn't, and trying new things. And we eventually landed on this mechanic for something we call a command pulse. That's a multi-contextual kind of element in the game where we fire down on the ground, literally like you would a first-person shooter. But that firing of the command pulse is telling units to move to locations and to target specific enemies or to go and interact with specific objectives. And it's that command pulse element that kind of grew and blossomed into this thing that got us really excited, because it turned, and it was the game changer for us. when it came to blending these two genres into something new. It's not just a hybrid. It is something that's really very, very different. And I think that was the part that that continues to fuel us on to this day, that that mixture of things and that success of how that worked informed so much more as we continued to develop the game.
That's awesome. How involved are you and continue to be in the process? 90%, 75%? Where are you?
About 105. Maybe more. I don't know. One of the great things about, seriously, Andrew, one of the awesome things about running a studio and a small studio is that we all wear several hats in the studio. All of us do, from anybody we bring in, even our community manager, all the way up to the engineers and the designers and the environment artists and animators. And there's not a single day where any one of us in the studio is just doing our teeny little job with our blinders on, because it's one of the neat things that we offer as a studio, is just allowing people to continue to grow. I'm in my 50s now, and I love still.
You don't look it.
Thank you very much. You just score some points. I love making games. It's great making I feel like it's really kind of this thing that fuels me every day. I get so excited about the fact that, hey, what am I going to do today? Am I going to build an environment? Am I going to design a new multiplayer map? Am I going to animate a character or help the animation team, who's far better at animating than I am? That's what I did early on in the prototype, all the way through to today. I love making effects. I just like getting my fingers greasy in the engine, just having a good time with everybody else working on the game. And I feel like it's really important too, especially for leadership within a studio, to understand what everybody is working on and be able to stand there side by side with everybody working on the game.
Awesome, awesome. So the last couple of minutes, I definitely want to hit, what is the core of the game, gameplay, modes, and those things? Can you talk about that?
For the single player experience or for multiplayer?
First, we'll do single and then multiplayer.
So in the single player, we really want to make sure that we designed a story. So I had been working on the fiction for this game over 6 years ago. So the foundation for this, for the universe that we had developed, was pretty strong. The story that we tell then, as we developed the missions, we were writing the story, and that is a roller coaster that we take the player through. We introduce you to all these new characters that are all part of this world, and they become your friends, your allies that you work with, and you get to discover who they are through the campaign. And it's, I think we throw a little bit of everything at the player along the way, from feeling like they are just getting to know the tools available to themselves in the beginning of the campaign, through feeling like they are empowered with not only some of the most awesome grab cycles and weapons on board, but also a great set of ground units. And you can liberate other units within levels and have them join your army. And it's a really fun experience, to the complete opposite, where you're left alone by yourself and really forced to find your way through a portion of a level without any of those ground units. And so you feel that ebb and flow to what's really important about some of those core mechanics throughout the game. And then in multiplayer, we have three different modes that we have developed that I think the fans are really going to have a great time with them. Each one comes with a couple maps that we have really put a lot of thought and effort into designing, to make sure that they play great and that each level is designed specifically for a specific kind of game mode. And that post-launch, we're continuing to support the game with new maps, new modes, new multiplayer crews, and all kinds of other good stuff there on that front, because we truly believe that that to keep things healthy and active that we're gonna dump as much good stuff into that ecosystem as we possibly can.
Awesome. What lessons have you learned making this game, Disintegration?
I think one of the hardest things, especially for our studio, when you get a bunch of ex-AAA devs together making a game, is to just keep reeling in the scope. Like, we have such crazy grand ideas of all these awesome things we want to do. Initially, Disintegration was going to be a much smaller thing. It was going to be maybe a 3 to 4 hour campaign and possibly just one multiplayer mode with a much smaller scope around it. But as we brought in more people and as that excitement grew, so did the scope of the game, and things get bigger and bigger. And we're like, oh, wow, we're really excited about what we're making, but can we make this? Can we actually do this? So we would occasionally have to draw that scope in just a little bit, you know, to make sure that what we're building is as high a quality as possible, because we didn't want to just put a bunch of stuff out there that was, you know, too rough around the edge. And so we wanted to make sure that we spent our time making sure that all of it was as high a quality as possible. And then, of course, you throw a global pandemic into it, and our entire studio has to go work from home during the most difficult part of a project, where we're trying to like ship on three platforms simultaneously, go through certification on them, reliant on the hardware that we had at the office that is like tied to IP addresses just at our office, and just weird stuff like that. It was a real big challenge for us. But I'm super proud of everybody at the studio for rising to the challenge and really pulling it together. Like, we did it. We shipped a game over the last 3 months. We've been working so hard, and we actually got it done. And I can't wait for it to get out there in the wild on Tuesday.
That's awesome. That is the 16th of June. So I got one personal question, and then platforms. Yeah. You mentioned three, so we'll cover those. Your sketchbooks and things that you've drawn and designed over the years, will that ever be its own book? I know you mentioned...
That's a good question. My sketchbooks, I would be curious whether or not anyone would even want to look at them, because a lot of the stuff in them, like I've got a lot of ideas, and it's the same for Disintegration. A lot of my sketches come in the form of trying to solve problems. It's not drawing pretty pictures. Of course, I do my best sometimes to draw some nice looking images, but that's not the kind of artist I am. I'm more on the creative side of trying to problem solve things, like figure out things. So that's most of what my sketchbooks are. From anything like in the very earliest days in the Halo, like figuring out how some of the Master Chief's armor might work and how it might function as I continue to build it in 3D, to what I'm doing now with Disintegration, which is continuing to like do the same thing, problem solve, not only just through sketches, but through written word and that kind of thing. So the sketchbooks are numerous, and they are, I don't know, maybe someday it would be kind of interesting to publish them. Hopefully, awesome. While I'm still alive, that would be awesome.
So you have Steam and which other platforms?
We are on Steam for PC and Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
That's awesome. Disintegration, June 16th. Marcus, I'm so happy that you took the time to have this conversation, and I'm done. I'm excited. I'm excited for everything that you're doing. Awesome. Best of luck and congratulations.
Well, it was a pleasure, Andrew. I appreciate it.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.